Hey guys, this episode was brought to you by Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/SGC64 for a free audiobook. You'll be helping out the show, and we appreciate you listening.
Super Gamecast 64, episode 79. Today on the show, guys.
Yeah.
We're switching it up. We're talking about some indie games, some retail games. It's back. Game of the Year's over.
It is. Sorry for all of you that got used to us releasing like 5 days apart. That was so weird.
Yeah. Now we're real back. Someone want to hit that, Deej?
No.
New year, new me. DJ.
So good. That was real good.
That was good.
I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always,
I'm Kevin.
Oh, I'm Tyler. I might be sick.
He's Kevin. Kevin is almost done being sick.
Yeah, I'm coming out. I'm coming out of the woods.
Tyler is
fresh
Tyler,
sick.
Tyler's fresh off the boat sick. So guys, this week, it's January. Usually January, you're like, kind of slow month. Not a whole lot growing on, except tons of great indies. Well, I'm not going to pass judgment quite yet.
But good choice.
There's indies that are out. There's also other games we've been playing. Tons of stuff as we head into the new year. So the major thing, though, that I want to talk about was this Nintendo Switcheroni event. You guys caught that?
I did, yeah.
Yes.
I can't wait to eat some virtual sandwiches.
So this
a Joy-Con?
That's what they're calling those little...
the side of the console?
Yeah, the little wannabe Wiimotes.
What we got, more like Vive controllers. What we got was a look at that system. It's $300. Well, that's suggested retail price. $300 USD. It comes with a little TV, if you want to call it that. the docking bay where you pop it in. And then what Tyler was so graciously saying, the Joy-Cons, which are essentially two little Wiimote nunchuck things, you slide on. And then you use them to play your games. There's different colors. Ooh, wow. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
March 3rd, 2017.
It's a pretty good price.
No, I thought they were going for $250. And then I was like, but wait, $300? I'll bite. And then they were like, 32 gigabyte SD card. And I'm like, what?
The price is good, but they're dicking everybody on the peripherals.
Yeah, the price, the buy-in is okay. It's just all the extra accessories. Yeah. So like what we've seen is that the pro controller thing, the one that's not just Joy-Cons you pop into a plastic sleeve, but like a good controller is like $70 or $80. And then if you want to replace those Joy-Cons or get another set of the Joy-Cons, the two little independent remotes, that is like $80.
Yeah, it's like 40 for one or 80 for, well, I guess that makes
sense. Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense because they kind of function on their own. Yeah, that's a lot for controllers, my dudes.
It's super expensive. I also heard a couple things.
Yes.
Which are interesting. I'm not necessarily, I don't comment on whether they're good or bad. I guess it's all completely up to how you feel about it. Yeah.
Just to the sub.
When you lift the little TV screen out of the charging dock, the definition goes from 1080 in some games to 720.
Oh, yeah. So if you have it popped up, imagine, all right, if you're unfamiliar with the Switch, it kind of functions like the Wii U, where it's like, oh, you can play it when you're on the screen, or you can pop the screen off of the charging bay and take it with you.
Right.
Except in this case, when you take it off, so you're away from a TV, instead of having 1080p crystally delicious Blu-ray graphics, you have 720 pretty good high-definition quality graphics. But the thing is you can only have those low-definition quality graphics for 2.5 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole thing about they're like, you can take it to a picnic, and that shit ain't gonna last the car ride. Who you kidding? Who you guys kidding? I mean, I don't, now that you guys have seen, I guess, the battery life and everything, you can agree, the functionality is within the home, really.
Yeah.
I don't think, I think there was some question about, oh, maybe it's going to be like kind of like a dual handheld. You could take it on the plane with you or long car rides. And,
right.
And then very quickly they were like 2.5 hours.
Well, it'll be interesting to see which companies come out with third party, like aftermarket stuff to increase battery life and whatnot.
Oh, great. It'll be like the whole fiasco with the Xbox 360, what were those called? The fans? The fans that were, because you remember how all the 360s were overheating?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they had these aftermarket fans you'd put on the back of them, right? And they would spin, and make the system hotter because they're running off the system power, which would then in turn make the fans go faster. It was just a way to make your system break faster, and people are paying $40 for it. So it'll be great. Can't wait to see how the third-party market just gouges people.
The other thing I wanted to note, so Nintendo's throwing their hat in the ring as kind of a Me Too with the paid online. And
yeah,
our favorite things, I apologize for those of you. I sound very nasally because I just got over a cold. But
Nasal boy over here.
Nasal boy. That's me. Nasal boy. Anyway.
His powers? List them. Go.
What are your powers? Production.
Yeah.
Unpredictable and sudden coughing.
That's useful.
And the occasional sneeze.
Okay, so over here, though, besides Nasal boy, we have, I'm going to call you Kidney Puke. How are you?
Kid Tummy.
I prefer.
Kid Tummy. Kid Tummy and Nasal Boy.
I prefer Throatman.
Sly Throatman. What are Sly Throatman's fucking, what are his powers? Can I name this? Can we just, right off the bat, can we agree that the name of episode 79 is now Nasal Boy and Throatman? Because I don't know. Where else can you go from that? Before we digress even further, please just tell me, what are Throatman's powers?
Oh, you got that sexy deep voice.
All right. That's...
I have to clear my throat every 12 seconds or so.
Defining characteristic of Throatman.
Indeed. and then...
Surprisingly, he has a very sensitive gag reflex. You wouldn't think so.
That's what started it all.
Radioactive gag reflex.
I was bitten by a radioactive gag reflex on a school field trip, and now it is me, Throatman.
So now that you've had plenty of lore to back up your character, why don't you tell us what your powers are?
He said. He clears his throat.
Yeah, about every 12 seconds.
It sounded like you were going to say something else.
When we go on ad roll, it might be an extra long ad roll because I won't be in the room.
It's okay. It's fine. Don't worry about it. All right, what were you even talking about?
So, what I was saying before we...
digress.
...got into the new hit series, Nasal Boy and Throat Guy, whatever it was.
Put it on your pull list. Books.
Did you find that one in Santa's Workshop?
Oh, well, I just didn't tell you guys about that. I thought it was something different.
It was a deep cut. anyway, so in a Me Too effort, they've added paid online, which, as we know, comes with the added benefit of getting free games, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it comes with free games, just like Games with Gold and PS Plus, right?
You get a free, what is it, Kevin?
You get a free game for a month.
Yeah, free either. They came out and they were, you start to get that trickle of information, like, okay, so the presser is over. Now you're getting that trickle of extra info. And the little bumble that came out, I think it was in the Twitterverse, was pretty much like, hey, so with that paid subscription, because normally, up until now, Nintendo's Online was free, but with the paid subscription that you pay yearly, you will get an NES or SNES Classic per month. And, since PlayStation and Xbox kind of work the same, you get to play the games for at least as long as you have, at the bare minimum, the paid service, I expect that then.
Okay.
And Nintendo's like, ha-ha-ha, you get to play it for literally 30 days, and then you have to buy it.
That's it.
Okay, so tell me.
That kind of works for a game like an arcade game.
Well,
no, it doesn't.
No, but I'm saying like an NES Classic. Like maybe, okay, you play it for 30 days, you've kind of seen it.
Let's say Cobra Triangle.
Yeah. Well, Cobra Triangle's pretty tough.
Right. I mean, you couldn't beat that if you wanted to.
That's what I'm saying.
In 30 days.
I think the problem is that it feels more like they're just giving you a little tasty demo.
Yeah. Well, they're giving you the intro. The first one's free. That. Anyway,
how much does this cost?
60, I think.
60.
I mean, if they're smart, they'll go 40. 60,
you're going to charge me $60 and not give me anything?
Wait, 60 for a year?
I don't know. That was just out of my ass. It might be. But if the whole entire market is anything to assume, it'd be like 40 or 50.
That being said,
if they're smart,
if they offer the game at a lower price.
For like members?
Yes. So let's say.
Half price.
Let's say you get Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Okay. And you play it for the month and you decide, boy, I want to own this game.
I want to try that.
Bringing up all that nostalgia feel good. And they go, all right, it's another $5. You get the game.
If the game itself
retails at $10, I'll take that deal.
Right.
Like, I feel like half off is decent. Like, if you're going to give me that sly taste, don't do that shit. No, don't be that. Don't you blue game me. I don't know how you exactly say that in game terms.
Blue-ba-bomb.
Don't you blue-ba-bomb me, man. I thought we had something. Took you to see this film in the backseat, PG-13, got a little spooky, and then you kind of got me excited.
Let's move on to the games. The games that come out with Switch.
Speaking of most of my dates.
Before you get too deep into your date plans.
Speaking of my dates, most of my dates in my prepubescent and puberty era, the game we're going to talk about, 1-2 Switch.
That looks great. That looks so much fun.
So 1-2 Switch, it looks like the Wii Sports of...
WarioWare.
It's like WarioWare Wii Sports. It's the game that shows you how you play the Switch. Tyler.
Oh, no.
Can you just sprout off maybe like two or three of these mini games you can play in 1-2 Switch?
The sandwich eating game.
The sandwich eating game. Okay,
I was kind of waiting. I was hoping that you would kind of hold off on that one, but
it's the only one I know.
But let's go right out of the gate. So the sandwich eating game, like we were explaining earlier, with the Nintendo Switch, you have these two Joy-Con controllers.
Yes.
And in those Joy-Con controllers are sensors of various types that allow you to. Allow the game to be like, I know where you're at and the space. There's a game where you hold the controller in front of your mouth and then pretend to eat it like a sandwich.
That's awesome. Is there anything more like quintessentially Japanese than that though? Like,
okay, that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
In style, like, yeah.
There's the unanimous good point, I guess. No, I mean, when you make a good point, you make a good point. there's the Westing shootout game.
Oh, that
Westing.
Looks fun.
Yeah.
That looks fun.
It's you draw your gun. Now, the thing that they say is you're supposed to play all these games by looking your competitor deep into their eyes. Okay, now wait. Hold on. Tyler, follow me. Tyler, follow me. If you're supposed to look into the person's eyes when you're playing 1-2 Switch... And they also say that the eyes are the entry into the soul.
Yes.
And if you beat somebody in 1-2 Switch looking in their eyes and their soul, isn't 1-2 Switch basically Persona 6?
5?
No, 5's already coming out.
Oh.
The other games include ping pong, and that's all
I
know.
Can I trap somebody's soul by beating them in the sandwich
game?
Don't
answer his question.
To answer your question.
I will amass my army of souls from the sandwich game.
I will eat so much Capicola just to get your soul.
My grand plan is to eat all of the Capicola. Fuck off. All right. This is great.
What's that other one? The little skadoodle cutters or whatever.
Skadoodle cutters.
Snipper clips?
Yes, that one.
Clipper snips?
Yeah. That looks great.
Okay, I did not see anything about that. Ooh, regale me, dude.
Good. So it's a co-op game.
Co-op online capabilities. Sorry, I cut you off.
You play as these two little cutouts.
Okay.
And... only the other cutout can cut the other cutout, if that makes sense. So, like, one cutout can cut the other one, and they have to fit into these little... You know that, like, really funny... not very funny. Primetime game show where people They have to, like, position themselves to fit in the cutouts that are moving towards them, lest they be knocked into the questionable...
Gack.
Non-potable water behind them.
Yeah.
It's not Wipeout.
I mean... It's similar. It's, like, called...
It's similar to
Wipeout. It's called, like, Shape Your Body.
It's called Shape... Not for fat people. That's what it's called.
It's called Better Be Athletic.
And anyway, so
embarrass
yourself. Kind of like that. For like the small bit of info I've gotten on it is that you play as these two little shapes, and you have to kind of like position yourselves. They lay over each other like a Photoshop layer, and you have to position yourself to fit in these little cutouts.
Okay,
and you can snipper clip each other. And
all right,
it looks a lot of fun.
It sounds fun, Kevin. Not to cut you off. I'm sick.
Funny joke, Matt.
I'm sick. Thank you. I'm sick of hearing about all these silly startup, weird, unique games. I want a classic. I want a classic franchise, you know, one close to the heart.
You want ARMS.
I want ARMS, dude. ARMS is a game. It's 3D. Let me tell you first off, it's not 2D. You get an additional D.
You get a whole D.
You get a whole D. It's like buy 2Ds, get one for free. You got 3 Ds. 2 arms apiece. 2 fighters each. So you got 4 arms, 3 Ds. You're in a battle.
2 fighters. Are you
one
following?
Battle.
Are you following?
I can't take it. It's a game where you throw your arms like they're on slinkies. And you're trying to
what?
Punch... Yeah, it's a 2D fight. It's a 3D fighting game. It's one-on-one, yeah. And using the Joy-Cons, you kind of, you know, you throw the punches or whatever, and judging upon how you twist the remote as you throw the punch or how you aim, your character henceforth throws their literal that's arm awesome. Like it's on a slinky. It's like, it's, yeah, and that's the game. It's 3D.
I'm sold.
Have any of you guys played Pokken Tournament?
No.
Yes.
Okay, it kind of is 3D in that way, where you seem like always locked on to the person, kind okay. of. Except you're just throwing your, like, it's like what you're like the crazy inflatable wacky arm guy.
Like Stretch Armstrong.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like if
Slinky the dog.
If Mr. Stretch from Fantastic Four. Only his arms. Just
his arms.
Mr. Fantastic, only his arms.
So only you already have a useless, no flattening. You already have a useless superpower. Here, let me make it more useless. Now you can only stretch your arms.
Ah! My arms can only stretch this far. Better call my trusty sidekick, Fruitman.
What's that, honey? The cookies are on top of the fridge? I got this one.
I know you keep. I keep you around for something. Ho ho ho. Okay. That was the joke. Arms looks great. Comes out in spring of 2017.
But spring.
Yeah, you like that one? That one this was. Guy, hey.
He's doing this like thing where he last description of each thing. He's throwing in a funny joke.
Boy, I can't wait for the next one. Let's go to Super Mario Odyssey.
All right.
Don't bury the lead, man. It was a good time. Holy shit. When this... Okay. You can watch this. If Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, whatever. There is a clip of me and Cal of Space Brain Gaming reacting to this trailer of Super Mario Odyssey. And you can watch it anywhere. Just type in Space Brain Gaming. My literal first reaction as Mario emerged his fat little ass out into Manhattan streets in real day, I said these words, "What the fuck is this, dude?" And that was very quickly.
Super Mario Go.
Yeah, no. So it's Super Mario it's like a 3D Mario, so Mario 64, Super Mario Galaxy, except it's like it's in the real world, but I don't. So there's like normal humans.
Oh, so it's Grand Theft Auto.
Okay, wait. Yes, no, that would be amazing.
It's
Grand Theft Auto Mushroom Kingdom.
It's Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
No, it's like the idea...
What do the people look like in the city?
No, that's...
Okay. What do the people look like? What are the people?
The people are like tall, lanky, like... They're normal.
Humans?
They're humans.
Oh, so they have faces?
Yeah.
So they're not one solid color?
No.
I retract my statement.
Okay, so what this Mario is it's Mario's Odyssey. He has left the Mushroom Kingdom. He is going to strange, crazy new places, a.k.a. Manhattan. It's not that crazy.
Luigi going to have to tie him to the mast of his ship so that the siren song doesn't call him
into
the
sea? Luigi's fucking probably dead somewhere.
Super Mario Odyssey, no fucking Luigi
always. Luigi always gets the bum end of the stick. Can we just acknowledge for 1 second that Luigi once went to a mansion and saved his brother from a painting cleaner. With a vacuum cleaner. And then the next game, they all went on a tropical vacation. They brought the toads, but didn't bring Luigi.
Luigi should have just left him in the frickin' painting.
They left Luigi. He's like, thanks for saving me and buying me this mansion, bro. I'm going on a vacation to this tropical island. I'm not bringing you.
Okay, listen.
Bring these annoying
I'm not going to lie. I've played Mario Party 8. I know what happens on those islands, and Luigi's better off.
Yeah, what happens there stays there, and you don't want to be there when it happens. Mario Odyssey is essentially Mario, but now he's going to crazy new places, quote-unquote real-life locations, which is here. It's fucking me up, guys, because, like, there's humans, quote-unquote humans in, like, the real Manhattan that Mario walks around, but then isn't Mario also a human? What is Mario?
No, he's a...
is he a halfman?
Did you play NBA Street...
Volume 2?
Volume Pippen? 3.
Oh, okay.
For
no,
the GameCube?
No,
specifically.
No.
Okay.
He's a basketball.
He is a basketball man. So, in that game, there are
this
lots
is extended
of,
universe.
Yeah.
This is Mario EU.
There are lots of regular old basketball players, a lot of which I could have named.
But then there are the Monstars and what they've done.
There are no Monstars, and don't
Space
cut me
Jam.
Off again.
That's Space Jam.
Mario, Luigi, and Peach decide they're going to throw in their hats and crown against
Kobe Bryant.
And the like.
And the rest of his basketball friends.
The Lakers. That's what they're called, right?
The Lakers.
Oh.
The Los Angeles Clip-Lakes. They have too many basketball teams. They have three over there.
San Francisco Bridges.
The Golden State Clip-Lakers.
So that's like they have dunk contests, and the only person that can't dunk in that entire game is Carmelo Anthony and
nice pull.
But the three Nintendo characters can.
So what you're telling me is that this is not the first time that Mario and Gang have encountered other humans.
That is correct.
Oh, I thought you were explaining why he's not a human.
I'm explaining why he's short. He's short in that game too.
Did you just spoil the fact that the Los Angeles Lakers of 2002 fame are going to be making a cameo appearance in Super Mario Odyssey?
If you think about it.
Whoops.
He fights mushrooms and turtles.
My NDA!
I mean, you've all seen... I mean, how big can a turtle get? Like, really, realistically, think about how big
Bowser looks like a badass mobster.
But what I'm saying is, like...
He looks badass.
A turtle? The biggest turtle I've ever seen?
Okay, just because...
Let me finish. The biggest turtle I've ever seen,
yeah,
is only like thigh height. So Mario's max height is thigh height, even with the power up mushroom.
What about them Galapagos turtles, like the really big ones?
Those, I mean,
you've never seen it.
Well,
so how do you know it's real?
I saw pictures.
What about the mega shroom?
What about it? That makes him normal human.
Does it?
Yeah.
And then fire just burns his insides.
Right.
Right.
Guys, Super Mario Odyssey is gonna look great. And yep. then just a sidebar here, they did release the bombshell of the night was that Zelda Breath of the Wild is gonna be launching with the system. There was
the shell joke, huh?
There is
Oh my god, I hate you so much.
That's
good.
You guys like it?
Wow.
You guys like that?
That one.
No, but anyways, yeah. So Zelda will be releasing with the system March 3rd, 2017, and that will be inside of Hyrule, deep in the rule.
Have we talked about it much? I mean, I know we hyped
it
up.
Yeah, you gabbed about it quite a bit. I mean, at this point, a lot of it's just speculation. You're not sure like where it takes place. Yeah.
I mean, this game has been hyped for years now.
Why do they just call it Hyrule?
If like anything,
Skyrim, you know?
Yeah.
I think that would be a little bit too on the nose for them.
Maybe.
They made a game about fucking eating sandwiches.
Yeah. So. Nothing's that on the nose.
But your Joy-Con will be.
Okay. Can we just move on now?
All right. Yeah, let's move.
All right. We got
You didn't
games.
Have one for fucking Breath of the Wild? You did all that and you didn't even...
Wait. I have some more things to say about the Nintendo Switch.
Okay, you can think about your Breath of the Wild joke while he says something about the Nintendo Switch.
So, to clarify things...
breathing heavily when it comes out.
The Joy-Con...
Oh, I get it. Breath.
They're selling a Joy-Con grip that charges. It's $30. The Pro Controller, $70. More Joy-Con troller thing, you get... Okay, you get it. $80 for a pair.
Yeah.
$90 for another Switch dock.
Oh, geez, the charging unit.
What really just kills
also once
me.
Again, keep in mind you will have to get another SD hard drive or SD card because it's only a 32 gig. So
well, it won't matter because it comes with no games.
Oh yeah, there's no pack-ins.
That's what I wanted to get across.
Yeah,
so your buy-in is going to be 360 right off the bat.
Yeah, if you want to get a game at least.
Yeah,
that's by yourself.
You want to play that Hyrule game? It's 360.
All right. You know, but Nintendo's not. Against and hasn't been in the past like changing things up before.
No.
So, I mean, they may.
We'll see what happens.
I mean, Wii came with Wii Sports and that was kind of an unprecedented
thing
for them to do.
Well, and I thought that's what 1-2 Switch was going to be, but then, I mean, if it's not 1-2 Switch, I don't know what other game there would be. Wii Switch Sports. You can have that one for free. There, Nintendo. All right. It's January.
Yep.
January in the entertainment business is known for two things: really bad horror movies. In
really?
Indie games. Yeah, dude, go... can I regale you with what the recent horror release in theaters was? The Bye Bye Man.
Yeah? What's wrong with the Bye Bye Man?
Oh, don't say his name. He'll
I already said it. I'm fucked now, I guess.
You're dead. I'm just saying.
So are you.
That's how
I've been swearing a lot this week.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's a new year, new you. You know, instead of a resolution to be better, a resolution to be naughtier.
Scarier.
You
know?
I'm too good.
You got too many gifts from Sani, and Santa Claus wants to add a little bit of coal to that diet. So let's talk about indies. We got some indies sent to us this week, thanks to all the devs.
and Pubs, who hooked us up. Can we all give a good old thank you?
Indeed, thank you so much.
I think they like to be called Native Americans, not Indies.
That's all right.
some of these devs are going to wish I didn't thank them.
Well, it's okay, Tyler. You don't have to like all the games. Let's start off. First off,
did you like any of them?
We'll go. Yes, and we'll go down the line. Rise and Shine.
Oh, you want to start with the best? Okay.
Rise and Shine. We'll discuss it. Rise and Shine is a game published by Adult Swim Games, made by a super hyper-dimensional crazy team. Something like that. It's a very crazy name. Great devs. They're great guys. Tyler.
Yes.
I'm going to hold up some fingers.
Ooh.
And I want you to tell me.
The long lost bit.
I want you to tell me, and I'm sorry I ganked this from you, Kevin, but I thought you'd grab it first.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
We're bringing a bit back in.
This is a group bit.
If you've only heard since Game of the Year 2016, we do this bit every now and again in which we will give 10 words, a 10-word allotment to anybody else on the show, and they have to tell us in their best ability this game is.
The idea being that with fewer words, you have to be very specific and succinct about how you want to describe this game.
All right. So in all its glory here, Tyler, in 10 words, what is the game Rise and Shine?
Start with your hands closed. That there is the score I give Rise and Shine.
Damn.
Really?
A 10?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A 10 out of 10?
It was fantastic.
Right out of the get-go. I mean, okay, so here's... I'll take that.
That does nothing to tell you what it is, though. No.
Rise and Shine is... It's a very quirky, I would say very stylistic game. It's a half side-scroller, right? Mm-hmm. But instead of, like, you know, running around shooting guys, he plays this kid named Rise. He gets this gun named Shine. It's a game about accurate side-scrolling shooting. And also puzzle elements that have to do with controlling your bullets. Kind of like the Wanted Weapons of Fate movie, where you can shoot the bullet and then control where it goes. There's puzzles with that. But it's a dark game.
It really is.
It's a lot of style. I mean, it's a short game, too.
Story's funny.
Yeah, and that's what I want to say.
I like the little characters, like
the first
legendary
guy,
hero. And,
yeah, the first guy you run into is a legendary hero. And then, like, in the second world, the dude you run into at the end is Mario. Like, he's trying to find the king. And he's like, he's like a plumber with a red hat on.
You start out with like the super barbarian, and within a few seconds, he's just donezo.
Mm-hmm. He's done. But Tyler, you like this game so much, so tell me what's the huh? Yeah, what gives it that? I mean, because all right, there's a lot that separates a 9 out of 10 game from a 10 out of 10 game. That's whether true. Or not you're shooting off the cuff, there's something there that makes you want to say it's a 10 out of 10. What's that? What's that? What's that rise that it has, if you will?
So it does have all those.
You're not a huge fan of puzzle games,
also. No. And I do like all the puzzle elements that are in this game.
Yes.
I
don't want to spoil too much of it.
It is very difficult.
Yeah.
But it is very rewarding.
Yeah. It's not cheaply challenging.
No, it is not. It's not just like, oh yeah, do this now that you know how to do all that stuff. Well. No, they give you a different puzzle every time, and it's a different interesting puzzle every time. A
lot of variety.
Yeah.
They shake it up. It's okay. It's okay if you can't explain your love, dude. Love is an elusive thing.
I don't know the last time I had a platformer like this, like Rad Rogers, like Rise and Shine. Those two are just, they haven't been done in a long time.
They don't make them like they used to.
Yep. Did you beat them?
Did I beat either of them? Yeah. No.
Well, Rise and Shine, it's a game that has, like you said, a very hard difficulty curve. There's a point where you'll probably like throw your TV.
Oh yeah, I threw my TV.
You'll probably chuck a controller at your TV.
You'll probably tackle your dad right into that TV.
Hey, Dad, come here so I can tackle you right into this Rise and Shine game. It's a good time though, guys.
Rise and Shine. It had a good art style and the story was funny. The tongue in cheek attitude was good stuff.
Well, I think that too. I mean, that's kind of like, even if you have any issue with the gameplay, like, its style makes up for that.
Yeah.
In droves.
Yeah. I thought it was creative. The gameplay elements were creative.
Yeah.
Just not my thing.
But I would say that my favorite part of it was kind of the tongue-in-cheek, very self-referential. Yes. I knew kind of what it was doing. Oh, my God.
There were so many
good even if you're not a huge fan of, like, kind of the super accurate aiming and the puzzle elements, like, you can at least appreciate it coming from the point of view of, like, without spoiling anything, it doesn't really pull punches in the storytelling. You know, it's about a war-torn city, and you have to happen to be a kid in it. But it's also tongue-in-cheek about the gameplay elements and, like, respawning and stuff like that.
Yeah, the city itself is...
Game Earth?
Yeah.
I mean, it knows the game. It's very cute. It's
funny.
But yeah, no, it's a great time. I recommend it. Tyler highly recommends it.
I highly recommend it.
Usually like those games, and I had a great time with it, honestly.
So it matters. So not your overall thing, but I definitely
recommend it.
Hell yeah. So go and pick that up, guys. It's Rise and Shine. It's available on PS4, Xbox One, PC. I don't think Mac yet, but hey, you know, people don't play video games on Mac, do they? Let's talk about this game real quick. Silvio. Silvio is a game... all right, so Tyler doesn't like horror games, and he doesn't like Silvio.
But I played it, damn it.
You know what? You're not required to like all these games, just required to be honest.
That's good.
So this is a game, I believe published also, but primarily developed by Stroboscope, horror game studio. Great guys. Here's what I like about this game. Silvio follows an EVP girl. She records the ghosts.
Is that also known as EMF?
Electromagnetic
frequency?
I think that's how you tell where the ghost is.
Got it.
And then EVP is where you're like talking to the ghost.
I'm not a ghost hunter, so.
I mean, I don't think anyone really is. But that's up for debate. That's another show. That's a whole other podcast. Coming very soon. Yeah, I was talking about our upcoming sister podcast, Super Ghost Cast, where we go around the most haunted locations in all of Ohio. In
Tyler's house.
There's two.
Oh, right.
Yeah, more than
the Midnight Pooper.
the Tale of the Phantom Ass. Silvio, it's a first person exploratory narrative driven horror game where you have a flashlight that kind of works and you walk around very dark caves for a while and get lost. Okay, there's more to it than that.
You walk kind of slow.
You walk really slow.
Yeah, not as slow as the park.
No.
Let's just say that. You'll never be as slow as...
Not as slow as Dear Esther.
Not as slow as everyone's gone to the Rapture. Those are some good pull
quotes for the box, guys.
Silvio. Not as slow as everyone's gone to the Rapture. Walk around in dark caves. I don't want to bash it.
One of the other titles that we're going to talk about.
I don't want to bash it too hard because it's a game that's I believe it came out a while ago and they're re-releasing it for Xbox One.
Yeah, it came out in 1989.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Is that a joke?
No. Let me just make sure.
Okay. So
I just want to make a fun observation here because I watched Tyler play this earlier. I think the problem is that
I'm thinking of a different game.
You move so slowly and things. That slow progress is it manifests itself in frustration as a player to the point where
Tyler was getting go
right and Tyler was getting really upset with this particular puzzle and he kept trying to do it and he would hit a button and the platform would like it would like open a garage door sort of thing and it would open the opposite way and he's standing there and he's like I've done this so many times I can't figure it out. And then literally sets down the controller to answer a text or something. And like 5 seconds later, the platform moves out to where he can walk on it.
Yeah, I so kind of like, just passed that one by.
It requires a lot of patience, but the patience is not... It's not inherent in the gameplay.
Here's what I'll say, what it does right. It has a pretty damn good atmosphere. And maybe that's just because of the fact that you're forced to walk slowly. So like tension is just kind of normally built. But... It doesn't really deliver on the tension it builds, except for with kind of like cheap jump scares. Like, you just fell through a floor. Ha!
That was the only thing that scared me, was the first jump scare.
It's because you fall through a fucking floor.
Yeah.
And you're like, I didn't expect to fall through the woods.
There's no potatoes down here.
Yeah, this isn't where I parked my car. So, Silvio is... but no, I don't. It did not come out in 1989, but I do believe it was
2015.
Yeah, so it's at least 2 years old. It was a PC game. It's definitely an indie. You're not gonna get the best stuff from indie horror all the time. In fact, there's a lot of stuff that's way worse than this. I will say that it does things right with the sound design. It's very creative. Much so. Yeah, and I like the fact that it goes for the kind of narrative structure of like you're not attacking things very much, or at least that's not the intent to attack stuff, but it doesn't go the whole...
You do have to, though.
You do have to in certain parts, but the overall style of the game is more like exploratory, but it doesn't do the whole thing with like Outlast, where it's like, you can only hide. Like, or Alien Isolation, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, you're defenseless, you have to hide.
Right.
Or, I like that you at least can walk around. Yeah, yeah. I like that you can at least walk around and like interact with stuff.
My favorite part about this game, so your character carries around this little microphone that takes front and center the whole game. And it's got this little, what would you call that? It's almost like an EKG sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like a little wave.
A little wave.
Sound wave detector.
Yes. Yeah. And so when you put it out into the darkness, it starts spiking when you see ghost activity. But my favorite thing was watching Tyler go around and try to offer interviews to the computers and the and the file cabinets of this game, because she like puts it out like, do you have any comments on this?
Yeah, you hold it up. You hold it up, but you can press a button to extend it and try and like reach out. So she's just like fucking whipping it out. Like,
I also really liked the mechanic where you would hold it out and you would get a sound bit. And then you could play it on your recorder, and you can reverse it or play it fast. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, so like all the sound and the audio, and that's what's cool, because when the game opens up, it says that all the sounds and all the audio is supposedly recorded with EVP. Yeah. So, you know, if you are a believer of the otherworldly, that these can or cannot be actual recordings of souls from the other side trying to reach out to us. And that's what they say. I don't know the validity of it. I didn't ask them specifically, like, did you guys really get all these from things? But they have the air of that kind of like staticky, you can hear something in the distance. And that's what I mean about audio and sound design kind of pushing that atmosphere forward. I think it does that very, very well. But yeah, you guys are right. I mean, it's the same kind of tropes you get with a lot of indie horror games. The movement, the overall gameplay is not something that kind of pulls you in, and the story isn't thick enough to kind of immerse you. I'll stick with it because I like horror games, but I can see if you guys don't understand you guys don't like it. I can understand why.
I beat the first level. I did.
You gave it a fair shake.
I did.
That's all we ever ask.
And just like walk 380 paces.
And
that
then he was like,
I'm bored.
He was like, never mind.
He was like, shrug. That's what Kevin did right there. So Silvio, that came out, not a hugely expensive game. What is that face?
Nothing. Go ahead.
No, keep going.
Keep doing your thing.
It's okay. Never mind.
I'm confused. Metrico Plus.
Yeah, he blew it.
Never mind.
I don't know. I don't know what I did. Okay.
Never mind.
He wants to talk about Nevermind.
Oh!
Goodness gracious.
Okay, see, it went... We also got a game called Nevermind.
We got a game called Nevermind.
Nevermind is a game by Flying Mollusk.
That's a fun name.
Yes, they're great. Thanks for hooking us up, Flying Mollusk.
Thank you.
You guys are bae. I did not get a chance to play this game because it was installing while I was waiting to come over here. Tyler and Kevin, you did get a chance to play this game. Before we start, I just want to say that this is my game. It looks like my kind of game.
Oh, you're going to love this.
It's that first person, trippy, thriller, weird kind of game.
You're going to love this.
Tell me... Is it good? Is it at least okay? Because if you guys think it's okay, then I'll think it's good. Tell listeners what Nevermind is, Kevin.
I enjoyed it. I thought, okay, so to give you an idea, I'll set the context.
Give me that text.
It's The Witness meets Firewatch in terms of gameplay, not necessarily, I can't really
story.
Speak to the, yeah, I can't speak to the overall entirety of the game, but... It's in terms of feel, how it feels, how it controls. Overwatch.
Firewatch.
Firewatch.
Witness.
Meets Witness. What do you got?
I don't know where you're getting Witness from. There are no puzzles.
No, but he's saying control.
There
like
were literally
style.
Puzzles. I did puzzles.
Okay.
So right. We're not sure.
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
I'm sure it's, not, I'm sure it expands.
But
I'm
not
sure expands.
Not puzzles in the way that
No,
Witness
no, they're
puzzles.
Actual like there was literally a situation where you walk up to this little alcove and there are these three birds, and under the three birds are three hands, and in the three hands are three different colored beans.
Dude, this game sounds like my shit.
And you pick up the colored bean and you put it in the corresponding colored bird's mouth. And
oh, I wish
so,
that
like,
puzzle would be more
difficult. Super simple puzzle. I'm sure it expands.
Yeah.
So the whole concept is you play as a scientist that works at this neurological institute where they actually they somehow manifest people's subconsciouses
into computers.
Into computers.
Oh, and, my God.
And as the doctor, you go in and you try to...
this is literally Soul Axiom.
You try to coax the traumatic experiences out of the people. And so it starts out as this like wonderful experience and then slowly starts to get more sinister and more dark as you go. And okay. It's really cool because...
It's not Soul Axiom.
Well, it's really cool because it builds and it builds and you don't realize what it is. And then things start to fall into place and you're like, oh, could it be this? Could it be that? And
could it be maybe?
The whole time you're trying to find these little pictures. And the pictures make up a larger story. There's each like subsection of the subconscious. Each one has a different like five pictures you have to find. And then you complete the whole.
So it's like a collectible kind of thing. But the style is that's what I want to know the most about, is the style. Is it trippy? Is it like weird? Is it spooky?
Yeah.
It's a little spooky.
All of those
things. It's going to get real messed up. Like, they had like four disclaimers before the game even started.
You couldn't read them fast enough.
Like, you start and the game's like, guys, this gets real dark. It goes to some weird places.
It does.
And then before you play the game, as the character you're playing, first of all, you put your first and last name in.
Oh, that's cool.
And it says... As an employee of Link. Blah blah blah, you realize that you'll be dealing with traumatic experience. Like, it's a disclaimer in the game as your character reading the same disclaimer basically that you already read. Like, it's going to go to some messed up places.
Remember, no Russian. That's when you said disclaimer, and whenever I think of disclaimers, I just think of like Call of Duty. Like, remember that time we killed a bunch of people in an airport? Proper disclaimer on there. Did you not remember? I guess that was the advent of disclaimers about violence before.
No.
Call of Duty. It was the one that started it.
Okay.
And then every Call of Duty afterwards, they were like, put a gore option on there so people think that we... It was once.
I remember that level.
Well, it's... Yeah, okay. Well, good. You should remember No Russian because it's a very traumatic... level where you kill a bunch of civilians with the
fuckers. I forgot that it was called No Russian.
Yeah, well, that was the joke, is because that's what he says.
Yeah.
He says No Russian. But, so it's, is it more about the horror of it, or is it, what's the dominant
thing? Let's put it this way. You start in the first one is like the sim. You know, you walk in to train yourself, basically. It's the tutorial level.
Yeah.
And it's a little fancy garden.
Okay.
And you walk around, there's kids' toys everywhere.
That's cute.
You walk up to this little garden shed, and it says, like, stay away, brats.
Hello, brats. Go away.
Yeah. And stepmother. It's signed stepmother.
Oh.
She's and you find a little picture on the ground.
Nice.
And the picture says something. Blah, blah, blah. It's
flavor text.
It's not important.
No, they are important.
I mean, they are, but
flavor that's text not to one this of the important
ones. The yes. other, like, it's just normal. It's like, my stepmother hated us. Me and my brother.
Yep.
And then it was like, or my sister saved me from being dinner once.
What?
And like,
yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, We didn't, or the birds didn't sing for us. And
ominous.
Then once you find the first five pictures, another door opens and you walk into that other door and it starts to get a little bit creepier. And then you find all the pictures in there. And then there are baby dolls in the trees and they're falling out of the trees. All
right. I don't want you to tell me anymore because I'm, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I would like to pick it up from there. So the object of the game is to find all 10 pictures. Per
conscious or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you take five of them that are the real memory and string them back together for the...
I didn't get that.
The quote-unquote client.
Oh, so it's like a Sherlock Holmes shit.
Yes.
Where you like connect the ideas to mm-hmm. form the solution. Like, I've got it.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
So you go through those and I'm not going to tell you the first...
I think I figured it out already.
The first puzzle, yeah. But like there are some things that don't make sense with other things, and there are some things that are like, really, is it really that? And then it's like, oh, okay.
From everything, you guys are being very vague about this.
Well, because we're trying not to spoil anything.
And here's the thing: is that you guys usually only do that if you know that I'm really going to like something, or that something has a decent enough story. So that kind of speaks for itself. And if you guys listen to us enough, you know that if we're like, yeah, fuck it, this character dies, like we really don't care about spoilers.
What I'm going to say is, again, I haven't played a ton of this game, but I could see it being a very, very cool game. Like
everything contender for best style.
The pieces are in place for this to be a very cool. Very, very cool game.
For you, Yeah.
Well,
I will probably go back and play this.
We got months.
Sure.
Before we pull off into the rest of the newer games,
Matt, play this game.
We have to. I will definitely play. Never mind. I will definitely play it. But we have to make our earning, make our keep. Let us roll into the ad roll. AudibleTrial.com/SGC64.
We should get a little music bit for that.
That was it. It was nice. It was just that. Forever, it was that. So, like Tyler had so previously explained, he will not be on this ad roll. This is going to be an exclusive Matt Kev only roll for your advertisements. In case you missed at the top of the show, this show is brought to you by the wonderful folks at Audible.com. Audible is the leading audiobook provider on the internet. If you find audiobooks other places, you're wrong. You should be on Audible and Audible only. And for a limited time, fuck it, for a while, all right, I'm going to be honest with you guys, for a while, Audible is hooking up our audience with a free audiobook if you sign up and try out using the promo code, or well, the URL, audibletrial.com/SGC64.
But only because you were good. So if you stop being good, we can't give that to you anymore. So, sorry.
Kevin, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pretend like I'm somebody who wants to sign up for audibletrial.com/SGC64, but I have some questions.
All right, so you're the consultant. Website, I'm the internet.
You're like, okay, so you're like, you know, if you ever have questions, like, try our online help
box. I'm the Audible, yes.
Yeah, you're the Audible. Okay. Hey, Audible.
Hello, my name is John M.
Are you a human? ?
Yes.
Cool. So I want to sign up for Audible, and I see that since I listen to since I listen to Super Gamecast 64, if I go to the URL audibletrial.com/SGC64, I get a free audiobook. Is it just like a $10 book, or can I get any book I want?
Matt, I too enjoy SGC64. You may get any audiobook in our collection.
Wow.
Matt.
I can't do it anymore. It's so good. All right, you guys aren't in studio with us, but I love this guy. He plays on me so well. All right. No, but yeah, you can get any audiobook. So say you guys got a hot new book. A hot new book right off the take. You want to get that book day one, but you don't want to read it. You like the trees. You don't want to burn all the trees. So you want to get it, but listen to it. When audiobooks come out, Quick question, Kevin. How much do they usually run?
I mean, we've had anecdotal evidence of them running up to $40 in some cases.
So say you want to get that book.
Typically speaking, yeah, they're like $30, $40 range.
So say you want to get that book, right?
Yeah.
Perfect world. You can just have it.
That book by that author.
Yeah. That one by the Harry Potter lady.
The Potters.
The new one she wrote. So you want to get that one real bad. In a perfect world, you don't have to pay for it, but this isn't a perfect world.
Nope.
So you can go on to Amazon, you can go on to, you know, wherever you get your audiobooks. Funnily enough, Audible is an Amazon company.
It is.
So you can go on there and you can buy 40, you know, spend the 40 bucks and get your new book, or maybe 35 bucks and get your new book. Or, like I said, audibletrial.com/SGC64, and you can get that book for free.
Oh, you know what? Your friend's birthday's coming up. Why don't you get them an Audible subscription?
Yeah.
You're welcome for reminding you about your friend's birthday. You know, that one friend that's been by you since you were young, and
you guys have kind of, you know, you haven't really talked a lot in the last few months because you guys have been busy in the holidays and stuff.
Yeah, but family
it's
stuff.
It's okay. Stuff happens, but, you know, deep down you're feeling it like you haven't been that good of a friend. And maybe you should give something that actually means something.
Give him the gift of a bigger brain.
Yeah, give him the gift of knowledge that you won't leave him because you don't make time for your friends. You should do that.
Be a good friend. Go to audibletrial.com/SGC64. Get your free audiobook. Help us out. Help you out.
And all the times, all the stuff, all the proceeds, they go right back into the show, guys. They're helping out for new audio equipment. We can finally pay Tyler so we can eat more than just ramen noodles. That's a lie. We don't pay Tyler at all. no, everything goes right to the show.
And corn.
Corm, this is a terrible ad rule. I don't even know why Otto puts up with us. This is the best shit we've done in years, dude. We should do an entire show that's just ad roll.
Audible.
Audible.com/SGC. Audibletrial.com/SGC64. Sign up for your free audiobook. If you like the service, it's only $16 a month and you get an audiobook each month. So like we said, it just makes sense. If you like listening to audiobooks, yeah, if you want, buy one a month for $35 or just get with Audible. It's an Amazon company. They have all the best releases read by the best narrators and you get it for a cheaper price and you get a free audiobook off the top because of us. So go to audibletrial.com/SGC64 and get your Audible on. Thanks, Audible. We're back. Thanks to Psychic Type for that awesome...
That choice trap.
Pocket Monsters. Pokemon Remix. It's great.
You're right there?
Gotta love them.
Gotta love them all.
I'm the baby. Right before
we
came,
yeah, right before we went to ad roll, we were talking about Nevermind, and we do have one other indie. We have two
Indiana
more.
Indiana Jones.
Before we do Metrico, so let's talk about this one real quick, guys. We all had a chance to play this over the week.
Yeah.
Friday Night Bullet Arena.
Oh yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Friday Night Bullet Arena.
FBA. We played that. Yeah.
Red Nexus Games. Great little game. We felt differently about it. All of us felt differently about
it. Yeah, indeed. That's very true.
Before we talk about this, I just want to bring up a very good point. This is a single-person game. Before Kevin says, Stardew Valley was a single-person game, I just want to make a point that... It was one guy, I believe, who made this game. If it was more than one guy, then I'm sorry I discredited anybody, but I'm pretty sure it was either one guy or a very small team, so keep those expectations in check. Understand what we're working with here. That being said, Kevin, how did you feel about...
I got two words for you. Lost Gary.
I have two words for you. Found Gary.
Nobody's going to get that. All right, there's a character in there called Lost Gary, and you get an achievement for choosing him. And
you get an achievement for just seeing him.
Anyway... It's goofy, it's very low res, and I'm awful at video games, so playing anything that involves me and my friends competing in a twitchy, high-skill, chaotic environment is just bad news for me.
What the game is it's only couch co-op. You cannot play it single player, cannot play it online. 1 to 4 players, you guys all get into a environment. There's different like worlds that have different levels that you can go on. But you and 3 of your other friends select different characters, and then you're on a kind of grid-based system. So you press over, left, right, up, down, whatever. You move one block, kind of. You can fire a bullet in any direction. Bullets kind of bounce off each other, bounce off the walls and stuff. You can also bounce into another person and send them flying off the map. But essentially just a game of knockout. You're trying to be the last man standing and get kills. And once you've done enough and gotten enough kills, you win the points. Planet. You win the planets. And then as you continuously,
you unlock more planets.
You unlock more planets to play. It's that simple.
It's a very simple game. The mechanics are tight.
It's like Duck Game. It's like just that's it. That's what it is.
No, I can see why people would find it fun. I just don't.
No, I mean, it's what it feels like to me is it feels like a arcade game that you would roll up on, like, at a bar or something.
Right.
And be like, oh, crap. Like, you know how you might be, like, a little bit drunk with your buddies and you see an X-Men arcade cam with 4 people. You jump on, have fun. Yeah.
Would do that in a heartbeat.
I feel like Friday Night Bullet Arena works really well for that. Like, you throw it on at a party for, like, 25 minutes.
Yep.
You know, everyone's having a good old time. Just, it's hype. Okay. Even though you didn't enjoy the game for the game, you had a good time playing.
Hell yeah, no, and I could see...
You know, even if you wanted to lie and say you didn't, there was several times where we all exclaimed laughing, it's if the game does anything well, it's create that kind of couch competitive, like, oh, you got me, and blah, blah, blah. You don't see that much anymore.
Make no mistake, my personal opinion of the game does not indicate, like, as to its quality unless I say so. And what I'm saying is... It's very tightly made. I like this game. I don't like those kind of games, so I wouldn't go out of my way to choose it.
You got wrecked, man.
I did not win a single round. You won three. You won one.
I won one, and then we quit because Matt got mad. Got mad that I beat him.
I'm making a smug face right now. You can't see it, but if you did, you would know that I'm really mad about Tyler beating me that last one. I had them all. I had them all with every character. They're all the same. They play the same, too. The character's just visual flair. A lot of it's visual flair.
That's it.
The levels are different. Like, there's the ice level where you'll run across ice patches and you'll slide and stuff. Some of the stuff changes up the physics of the game. So the levels do have a difference, but the gameplay is always the same. You're just trying to eliminate your friends with your bullets. But hell, it made us laugh pretty hard quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a small game. Besides that, there's really not much to say about it. If you're looking for a more than two player kind of competitive co-op, couch co-op experience, or not couch co-op, it's not co-op, couch competitive experience, a local thing, Friday Bullet Arena is kind of your deal. There's not a whole lot of stuff out there. Out of all the indie stuff there is, a lot of it's kind of poo-poo. But Friday Night Bullet Arena, if anything, is programmed competently. It's smart, and it makes for a good time. Whether or not that good time is going to last more than like 2 hours of your entire life, who knows? But I would say for what it offers, it's a pretty damn good time. Last but not least,
Metrico Plus. This is a game.
Metrico was really cool.
This is a game that was on PS Vita, PS4.
Oh, I could see it being good on Vita.
On Vita, the inputs were different. You'd use the touch screens and stuff like that. So one of you guys want to take it. What is this game?
This is a puzzle game where you control all the puzzles by moving your character.
Yes.
Or doing something with your character.
As vague as that sounds, having encountered the game, I know exactly what
it is. Give me a very basic example. Like, what's like the... Can you do this? I can give you one.
I'm just ensuring you that it was a good description. But it's just hard as a person who hasn't encountered it to understand based on that.
So the first puzzle you run across is jump three times. And then you can move to the next area.
So, do you mind if I jump in?
Go ahead.
No pun intended.
Ah!
So, he said you jump three times. The first time you jump, a little block pops out of the ground. Or the ground, rather, raises up one level. And then you jump a second time. And the second area, just past that block, goes up two levels. And then you jump a third time, and the block just past that one goes up three levels, creating effectively a staircase for you to jump up.
And that's how this game kind of works. There's six worlds, and each world kind of has a different focus. So it builds upon itself. You know, the first world kind of teaches you, like, okay, depending on if you move to the left or the right, if you're in air or if you're not in air, if you're moving on the ground, how many times you jump, these all affect different areas of a puzzle, and then you're going to be adjusting your movements and your inputs based upon whatever you're trying to achieve. But as you go, it's kind of like Braid in the fact with each new world comes a different ability, whether it's like, oh, I can now teleport between these two teleporters, or I can wipe the screen, or I can do this or that. It's always something that the puzzle is going to be based upon your input. So it's not like, oh, let me diddle around and try to figure it out. It's very much like a look at the screen and say, okay, I'm going to jump once to get here, which is going to raise this platform this big, and then I have this long to get to here. It's almost like a game of tactile strategy where you're trying to figure things out, but each new puzzle you run into is this game of pressing every button and moving in every possible way and figuring out exactly what movement triggers what. It's a really cool thing. Because it makes you, I don't know, I just like that. I like the idea of puzzles being controlled purely upon your movement, but each puzzle, you know, it's not like, okay, I move the blue blocks by jumping, and I move the yellow blocks by moving left to right. Like, everything is kind of whatever the theme of the level is. So you come across a new room or a new puzzle, and like I said, you have to figure out what moves what, and I like that. There's some sort of experimentation with each new level.
I like that one of the things that people said about The Witness, one of the biggest puzzle games of last year, was that it basically taught you the language of the game as you played.
Yeah.
I found that to be very similar in Metrico.
It builds upon itself.
Right. But that's essentially what The Witness did as well. So I you know, not to compare the two, you know, saying they're on the same level. Like, Metrico is really cool because as you're playing, there are points where you're like, I don't know what the hell to do, so I'm literally just going to do anything. Like, Tyler and I got to a point where it's like, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to jump off the edge. And yeah, that's exactly what you were
supposed to do.
Yep. To do. So
it's and that's what I said. Like I it challenges kind of your ideas.
You have more to say about it?
No, I mean.
Well, you guys only how much did you get to play? You guys got stumped.
I went through. I'm on the fourth world now.
Yeah,
and
it's a difficult game.
It's really tough.
It gets difficult. It starts off easy, and you're like, I got this, and then you realize about probably world three-ish, four. You're like, this is a bit difficulter than I thought. And then about a world like five, you're like, walk up to the later puzzle, and you just look at it, and you go, nah.
And you shut it off.
No, that's yeah, I'm the other way. I just look at it and I go, gotta figure that out. And it's a good time. I'm not gonna lie, it's a good time. I kind of am interested to see. I feel like a lot of the later puzzles kind of would have worked better with like touch screen and stuff like that. I could see that being a more force feedback kind of thing, adding a little bit more to the experience. But for what it is on consoles, it's good. This is a good time.
It is.
This is a good time. You know what's funny is I think at the top of this, I was like, these games, Rise and Shine. And then you're like, the best one? I think we all kind of...
We all picked our different.
Yeah, we didn't dislike these games as much as I think we all thought we did.
Yeah, I think so too.
There's redeeming qualities to quite a few of them. There's good qualities to all of them. But yeah, I mean, shit. These are some pretty good games. Don't think all of them are going to make our GOTY discussion later in the year, but hey, you know, there's always room. There's always room to make a splash. Guys, we don't have a ton of time. You know, maybe a little shorter, indie heavy this week. We got Resident Evil 7 coming out next week.
Oh boy.
It's going to be crazy. We're going to be streaming that with Space Brain Gaming. It was great. It was a damn good time when we played the demo. So it's going to be a damn good time when we play the full game. Anything else that's coming out in January you guys are looking forward to? There's not a whole lot. There's that Gravity Rush 2 game that came out this week.
Dude, Gravity Rush is a great series.
Yeah, I hear it's a fun time. I hear it's
I'm going to try to pick it up.
Fantastic time.
Won't know which way's up.
You won't know which way's left or left.
Or down.
Is that about it? Yes, you think we're not done with the show there?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
We're good to go?
Yep.
That's a wrap.
Okay, guys, if you want to hit us up, if you want to talk us out, you can find us in so many places. Like I just said, the other half of us, you know, our better half, the streaming half, where they're streaming on the Twitch, the YouTube, the Facebook. That is Space Brain Gaming, twitch.tv/SpaceBrainGaming or youtube.com/C/SpaceBrainGaming. I think that's how they do the channels now. If you want to talk to us directly, sgc64mail@gmail.com. Send your questions, comments, concerns, something funny to say, whatever. Drop us a review on iTunes. If you do, and it's funny, it's great. The review robot 2K12-3000 will read it out. We'll have to dust him off. We haven't had a review in a while, so please help us. It helps us all out. You guys have no clue. Those reviews really do help. Twitters. The show's Twitter is @SuperGameCast64. My Twitter, Matt, @SGC64Matt.
I'm @GingerBeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm @TTramaglio.
And if you want to check us out on Facebook, that's facebook.com/SGC64, and 64 is spelled out. We don't have an Instagram. We don't have a Snapchat. We're not cool like that.
Nah.
But what we do have, do we, Kevin? Do we have a fun game fact?
We do.
Kevin.
We do have a fun game fact. This is a really fun game.
Tell me how fun. Tell me the game.
So, you guys know the game Dragon Quest, the series.
Yeah.
Wildly popular.
Yep.
Yeah, there's quite a few of those coming out for the Switch.
Very true.
So, for a while there, they would only release Dragon Quest games on weekends.
Why?
Which is very atypical. Normally, game releases are on Thursdays.
Yeah. Well, Tuesdays.
Tuesdays. My mistake. Movies are Thursdays.
Yes.
Anyway, they would release them on weekends because so many people would call off work to play the game.
And that just became a standard?
Yep.
That's actually kind of smart.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Nintendo releases their games on Sundays.
Could be.
Because they want their families to get together. You know, Sundays like a family.
Fridays,
maybe. Well, Fridays and Sundays. I don't know. It's been a while since I worked at the game.
Fundays?
I hate Fundays.
Guys, thanks for listening. Y'all have been great. We'll see you next week. With Resident Evil 7, with maybe some more indies.
Thank you to Audible. Thank you to Psychic Type. Thank you to you. Thank you to me.
Subscribe to us on iTunes. Drop us a line. Give us some love. hop in on some Space Brain Gaming streams, and we'll see you around. From all of us at Super Gamecast 64, stick it to your mother.
Yeah, we're going to come up with a new one.
This We've been
new
saying year. That
new
for year, about
new statement, four new episodes. Thing.
You guys want to shop it right now?
Nah.
Nope.
All right, we'll do it next time.
All right.
All right.
That's how it always goes.
Fix it in post.
Nope. Bye.